Hello, welcome to Her Wild Side Hockey Podcast. I am your hostess, Mickey, aka Hockey She Wrote. And we are at the end of the Minnesota Wild season. All 82 games have been played, and the exit interviews, all of that has been, it's all done. So today, what I'm going to do is do kind of a post-mortem on this very strange season. And then I'll also talk about just playoffs in general, kind of the brackets that I've set. So it should be a good show. So like I said, I'm going to start with kind of a post-mortem, an autopsy, if you will, on this season. Because, you know, it's kind of easy to forget how the season started. I was at the season opener in St. Paul against the Florida Panthers, and that game was electric, like just amazing. Not only just the atmosphere, like the atmosphere was great. They passed out those, like the light up towels. They're all different colors. Like they, you know, they did the intro part where it's dark, but they have like the hype video going. Everyone's got their towels lit up. I mean, it was just completely electric. Not only that, they played amazingly that game, like so good. And this was against the Florida Panthers, who had just, you know, gone through what, they won two rounds of the playoffs the season before. So to play that well against a team that is tough to beat was so good. And it was a shutout. Like Gustafson was in net. He had a shutout. He stopped 41 shots. You know, I just remember afterwards, my brother and I just kind of being like, this season is going to be amazing. Like, that was so good. And then we all know what happened, because then they lost basically every single game. I think they dragged a few to overtime to get a few points there. And then we had the coaching change. Oh, actually, first they went to Sweden. Sorry. They went to Sweden. I didn't go back and look, but I'm pretty sure they lost both. Or no, I think overtime. They went to overtime at least. But it was fun to see that. You know, it was fun to have them do something a little different. It was nice to have Minnesota actually like included in that kind of a thing, because, you know, usually they just don't. But it was after that, I think it was like the week after that, that they had the coaching change. And we saw it coming, right? Everyone saw it coming. I didn't want to see it coming, because I love Dean Evason. And wherever he coaches next, I will cheer for them. I'm not going to promise that, because I can think of a few teams that I'm absolutely not going to cheer for. But I will cheer for Dean Evason, and I miss his funny faces, and I miss how he punches his coaches, and I miss it. But John Hines was kind of the shot in the arm that the Wild needed, because they went on a tear after that. And, you know, if it was not for all of the injuries, I think they would have kept going like that. Like, they would have been on an absolute run. But unfortunately, the injury bug came. Not only the injury bug, but then for a while, it just sickness too. You know, you had half of them were out sick, half were out with the flu, and, you know, injuries. We had Kaprizov out, we had Gustafson out, we had Brodin was out, and Spurgeon was out. And I mean, everybody. It's like, it's almost like the top two lines and the top four defensemen and, you know, the starting goalie, it's like every single one of them was just out of commission. That was the point in time where I think we were just lucky to get through it. And that's kind of, it's almost unfair to look at the stats, because at that point in time, the team was basically made up of rookies and AHL players. And they held their own. They tried, you know, like, they did try. And I know at the end of the interviews they were doing last week after the end of the season, they did not try to put the blame on the injuries. And I like that they were basically like, yeah, that happened, but we're supposed to still be able to do our jobs. But I mean, it was just this back and forth. Kaprizov comes back and the second half of the season, he was amazing. He basically made up all of the points that he didn't get in the first part of the season. And it was kind of confirmed at the end of the year here that, like everyone was saying, Kaprizov was definitely injured at the beginning of the season. And I feel bad because I think it was not an injury where it's like he shouldn't play, but it was just like he couldn't be himself. I'm glad that he came back around. Hopefully he can stay healthy over the offseason here. And we'll see. But the top line in general, Eriksson Ek, Kaprizov, and Boldy, that line was one of the best lines in the NHL this season. One thing that Hines did when he came in that I really appreciate, because this was something that we kind of had a problem with for Evason, is that he is not afraid to switch things up. He is not afraid to switch lines, D pairings, even mid-game. You know, we've seen him do that. And that's what they needed. Because Zuccarello and Kaprizov, do they work well together? Yes, but not all the time. They go through points where they're too busy, you know, playing catch with each other to actually, like, try and put something on the net. And when that would happen, Hines was like, nope, okay, different lines. So I appreciate that because that obviously worked. One of the good things this year was seeing all the rookies. I would need to go back and look, but I feel like they said something about like 10 different rookies made their NHL debuts this year for the Wild. Some of them were only there briefly. Or, you know, I'm thinking like Damon Hunt. He was there, looking back now, briefly. I mean, I think it was maybe 4 games he was in, and then he sat out for a few of them, too. You know, we had Volstead come up. And we're not going to talk about Dallas, but he had 2 games here at the end where he played amazingly. We had Huzhnidinov come over from Russia. That has been really fun to watch him. We had Liam Ogren came over after his season ended in Sweden. And just having even Rossi and Faber play 82 games held the team together. Like, the two of them were basically the only reason why the Wild did not turn into the Sharks or the Blackhawks. They held things together. And it's just really fun to see the rookies and where they're at. And I know Iowa had a tough year this year. I mean, it was really obvious. And I don't blame them, again, because half of their team was up with Minnesota. Hopefully next year they will have a better team that can kind of help develop some of the younger guys a little bit more. Besides Hunt, there's the other defensemen are not ready for NHL debut. And that's partially because Mermis was pulled up to Minnesota the entire year. And he was not there to kind of help with that. Let's see, what else did we do? The third jerseys also came out. And I know people go back and forth. I think people either love them or they hate them. I know they look like Subway. I get it. I like it. I think it kind of provides a nice, different feel. You know, it's always like when they have the third jersey where it's the same, basically the same thing, like same colors, maybe like a very small tweak for the logo. I want them to be different. That's kind of the whole point of it. And I like that they have the breezers that have the stars down the side. And it's just kind of a fun, like, totally different look. And I would love to see, I am not a stats person, you know that. I want someone to write about what the stats were for the Wild when they were in their third jerseys, you know, versus the rest of the year. because I feel like they played really well in those jerseys. And maybe that is just me thinking that. Who knows? And the last thing that I want to talk about for this postmortem is actually not, it doesn't really have to do with hockey, but it has to do with the team. Meaning the experience in the Excel Center this year was incredible. It was top notch. I loved the hype video and the whole intro. It just, like, it gives me chills. And the fact that they were able to use Born to Be Wild this year, I just, it, like, it gives me goosebumps. And I will be interested to see kind of how that morphs next season. You know, are they, because obviously they change it every season. I hope they don't change it too much just because it was incredible. And then I sit club level. They did renovations club level before the beginning of the season, and it was great. It wasn't, I guess it wasn't so much like, I mean, they got new furniture and stuff up there to sit, but I was really impressed with the new food that they had on club level. It's incredible. I was able to go to an event where my husband and I tasted everything. So good. And like stuff that I normally would not order. Like I'm not a big hamburger person, but I liked their hamburger. I ate the rectangle pizza a few times. It is so good and so filling. What else? Oh, actually this is not club level, but I just tried the cookie dough when I was at the Frozen Four with my dad. That was good. Super sweet, but very good. And just in general, I like that they are bringing in this new stuff. I know they want to renovate the rest of the rink, and you know, I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know where that money's going to come from. I don't know. I do hope that somehow that also translates to the parking situation, because the parking garage across the street that I normally use is not in great shape. It's very handy, but it's not in good shape. So in general, this year is disappointing. It's very hard when you get to the point where the team is out of it. Like you just mathematically, you are eliminated. Thankfully, that didn't happen for the Wilds till close to the end, because it was already strange enough to kind of know the exact moment that the season ended. You know, like you just, okay, after that game on Thursday, like that's it. That's the end. Yeah, it's a very strange feeling. So I am going to talk about kind of what I think for next season, like kind of a fresh start, but I am going to quick just put in my word about our Ticketmaster link. There we go. So if you are watching, there is a QR code that you can use to help support our show. Any tickets that you would need to buy through Ticketmaster, if you use our link, we just get a small cut of the profit, and it just helps support my show, the podcast network that I'm on, and yeah. So anything that you would buy tickets for, concerts, plays, sports, if you use this QR code or the link in my show notes, that would help support us. And if you do, thank you very much. I appreciate every single person that would help support the show. Okay. Now, there have been plenty of complaints at the end of the year. First of all, there's always a lot of complaints. Minnesota fans are going to complain no matter what. I am pretty sure that I have heard every single good player of the Wild called a bust this year at some point. Even Kaprizov. Like, I heard people being like, wow, he's a bust. Like, pff, wow, why are we keeping this guy? But we need to slow down. We need to slow down. And here is what I think next season is going to be like. Because the end of the year here, they're just, didn't make a difference how to change things. Meaning, you know, Goudreau's had a really slow season. Johansson had a really slow season, and still they were being put on like the second line, and people were like, "What is going on?" First of all, they were kind of forced to be there because of all the injuries and stuff. You, as much as you want to give the rookies a good chance, you can't just toss them on the first line and expect them to know what to do and be able to do it. You need to have that experience. So JoJo and Freddie, they have veteran experience. They have been there in the league for years. They are able to step up. They might not be successful, but they're able to skate the minutes and they're able to keep up. You know, you can't just pull up someone and put them out there for the Sharks. I know you want to see these people on the first line, on the second line. You have to slowly get them into it. So I think next season, they will be able to do what they want to do. You know, Hines was saying that the rookies, if they prove that they can play on the top line, on the second line, they will get that slot. If they come in and they can take over a veteran spot, they will take it over. They're not going to just hand out things to the veterans. And people are like, well, why didn't you do that at the end of the year? You know what? It wouldn't have mattered, first of all. And I think having a fresh start coming out of training camp is going to be the perfect time to do that. Because then you don't have to demote them mid-season, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like it's a lot more respectful to veterans to come out of training camp on a lower line instead of tossing them on a higher line and then bringing them down. Maybe that's just me. I think next season is going to be interesting. We're still in salary cap hell. Still are trying to think, like, what is next year going to be? Will they make the playoffs? Will it be similar to this year? I feel like there was just so much up in the air this season that that's just really affected them. So I think next year, I hope that they would make the playoffs. But we'll have to see, you know, like, we can't take it for granted. And I think this year really showed fans, it showed the players that, you know, no. One thing that I did like is someone asked Kaprizov about, you know, next season, if the team doesn't make the playoffs again, is that going to affect your decision about signing a contract extension in Minnesota? And Kaprizov was basically like, but we don't know that, you know, like, at this point in time, we can't say anything about the playoffs next year. You know, if it was up to Kaprizov, obviously they would be in the playoffs. I mean, but to hear him say that, it like made me feel a little better. I genuinely think that he likes Minnesota. I genuinely think that he likes playing on the Wild. He likes the, you know, his teammates. He likes living here. I think he likes it. And I know people are afraid that he is going to sign somewhere else, in a bigger city, on one of the coasts. I don't think so. I really just, you know, I get this sense from him that he doesn't care as much about his contract. You know, I think he's just kind of like, you know, I want to be here and I'll be here. So he'll have to sign his contract, I think next summer he's available for an extension, but it'll be interesting to see in the next couple of months here what extensions they're going to be handing out, because Faber, they can sign an extension this summer. And obviously he still has a year left on his ELC. So it would not kick in until after the salary cap, you know, after that 14.5 $6.9 million is off the books. So, but they need to start kind of mathematically fitting everything in. They've got Faber. They've got, they need an extension for Kaprizov. They have a bunch of rookies that'll be coming off their ELCs soon. It'll be interesting to see. All right, I am going to play my other little ad here. And when I come back, I will talk about the playoffs and my brackets. So I'm going to kick it to commercial.
Thank you for watching the show. If you enjoy our podcast and want to support the show, consider signing up for ESPN Plus via our link at insidetherink.com/ESPN or scan the QR code on your screen now. I have ESPN Plus, and I personally love all the college sports, UFC, MLB, and NHL games all across ESPN platforms. Over 1,000 out-of-market NHL games are on ESPN Plus every year. Make sure you hit the QR code or go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to make sure you don't miss out on any of this year's NHL action. And if that wasn't enough for you, ESPN Plus is currently offering a bundle of ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu for $14.99 a month. You get sports, the kids get Disney, and Hulu is the added bonus. It's the perfect bundle. I personally have it, and I don't know what you would do without it.
Welcome back. So playoffs started yesterday, the first two games. Today, this is Sunday. They start in 40 minutes. I just want to talk about my bracket a little bit. My brackets, plural, because I make a real bracket, meaning like who I think will actually win. And then I always make my DeLulu bracket, which is like who I want to win. And pretty much always it's the Wild, except for obvious reasons this year it's not. So I'm going to just say for the real bracket, I keep putting that in quotes because like they're both real. I have the Avalanche winning it all. I have Avalanche versus the Hurricanes and the Avalanche win it all. And I felt good because my brother was like, yeah, I also have the Avalanche to win it all. And I'm like, okay, thank goodness someone who like knows a little bit more about hockey and doing brackets thinks so. So like, let's see. So I've got Dallas over Vegas, even though not a Stars fan. I've got the Avalanche over Winnipeg. I've got the Preds over Vancouver, Oilers over Kings, Panthers over Lightning, Bruins over the Leafs, here's my phone, I'm trying to read this, the Rangers over the Caps, and the Hurricane over the Islanders for the whole first round. Now, let's move on to my favorite bracket, which is the DeLulu bracket. Now, I have the Vancouver Canucks winning the Cup. I just really adore them. Last year was such a rough year for them. And for Brock Besser specifically. Besser is a Minnesota boy, so I'm always rooting for him, but he just had such a rough season. Losing his father and just, you know, trying to deal with that. And it kind of spilled over into his on ice play. He could not score even like, you know, an empty net barely. But it was a struggle, and I understand why. And I love that this year he has just come roaring back. I would love if he would be able to win the Cup. I also love, just, I don't know. There's just something about Vancouver. I have them winning over the Capitals in the final. And that would be just because it would be fun to see Ovechkin. But, I mean, honestly, a lot of my picks are the same between my two brackets. And again, it's nice because my brother is kind of the same. Has the same picks as me. Now, if Colorado does win, I will be excited because that means that Brandon Duhaime would win the Cup. If the Leafs move on, I will be happy because Connor Dewar is there. So those are kind of the two things that I'm also watching, the two guys. This has turned into kind of a rambly podcast. That's okay. I am going to, cut myself off here. And we will talk more about playoffs as they go. And hopefully everyone is doing good. Hopefully you've all got your brackets in. I have joined a bunch of leagues. I don't really know why, but I did. And half of them, I use my Delulu one. And half of them, I use my normal one. So anyway, I'm rambling. Okay. I will see you soon. Happy playoffs, everybody.